That was a great song. Great song to lead into what we're talking about today, and I can't think of a better tune than to begin with that. If you have your outline, make sure you pull it out this morning. We'll be filling that in as we go. And Teresa and Sarah are up in Nashville. They are visiting her brother came into town. He's living in Washington, D.C. right now. So she's up there this morning. She says hello to everybody. Missing everybody this morning, but she wanted you all to know that. So let's have a prayer as we begin. I think you're really going to enjoy the message for today. We are halfway through the story. And I pray that God is blessing you and helping you see His big picture of what He's doing and what He's done in the world and how you fit into that. We're going to be talking today about some stuff that I think you'll really enjoy, and you'll see how we fit into God's plan. Let's pray together as we begin today. Lord God, today we join the psalmist that said those words. We trust in Your name, Lord. And we thank You today that You are in control. And we're thankful, Lord, that no matter how chaotic life gets, that You are with us, You're walking with us. I want to lift everybody here before You this morning, and we've all got collective problems and issues on our minds this morning. We, Lord, ask that You just clear our minds this morning and help us focus on You, focus on Your Word. We invite Your Holy Spirit to teach us today and ask You, Lord, that You will help us to touch our hearts this morning. We need You, and we love You, and we worship You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were in a Bible class this morning, you may have heard this story already, but forgive me. There is, after the Revolutionary War, and our country was beginning to be founded and organized, it was interesting that George Washington's soldiers and many leaders at that time approached him and asked him, "Why don't you be king over our 13 colonies?" And he declined. He said, "No, I cannot do that." And he reminded them of a principle that was very, very popular during right before the Revolutionary War started in 1775. There was a saying going around at that time, "No king, but King Jesus." Our founders of this country based their lives on following Jesus Christ, and they made it very firm to say, "We have no king, but Jesus." And I think to myself, that would have been a great slogan for Israel. When Israel and Judah were, you know, when they split, in fact, before the split, God had warned them about having kings because He was their king. And when they come to Samuel and the prophet Samuel and say, we want to have earthly kings like everybody else, he warned them. He said, "No, you don't need to do that. That is not going to be a good choice." And as we've learned and as we've been seeing, it's been a disaster for Israel. One step at a time here, as we learn. In 930 BC, Israel and Judah split, and 10 tribes go north, and 2 tribes stay in the south in Judah. And it's interesting, Jeroboam is the king over this northern tribe of 10 tribes of Israel. He sets up an altar at Dan, which is here, and Bethel, which is here. He says, "You know, you guys don't need to go down to Jerusalem, which is right there. You don't need to go there to worship the Lord. We can worship the Lord here, and let's set up these golden calves to we can worship them. And they're the ones that brought us here and are taking care of us." And he was obviously very influenced by the idolatry that was around him, by the pagan nations that were there. And this leads Israel into idolatry and their eventual demise. We have 39 kings, 39 total, and between Israel and Judah, and there's a time period between 930 and 722 BC, about 208 years, and only 5 of these kings honored God. That tells you the problem that was relevant during this time frame. God sends prophets to warn them. He tells them, I love you. Would you please come back to me? God's prophets were calling people back to that covenant, that those marriage vows that Israel made at Mount Sinai. Remember, the Ten Commandments were the vows that God had made with them, and they promised they would be faithful to God, and He kept His end of the bargain. He was faithful, and they were not. And sadly, they are taken into slavery. Israel, the northern kingdom, were over to this area over here, and it's horrible. And it's what's really sad about that whole thing is those are referred to as the lost tribes of Israel. They never again return to history. They are forever lost in history. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria. All this took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of Egypt from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods and followed the practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before them, as well as the practices that the kings of Israel had introduced. They worshipped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by His messengers because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people until there was no remedy. God speaks to us daily through His word, through people. And I want to ask you today, is God speaking to you today? Has God spoken to you this past week? It amazes me how we can often miss what God is trying to say, maybe through our spouse, maybe through somebody at work. God often uses people to speak to us. He also uses His word, obviously. And it's amazing to me that we can hear the word over and over again and not listen, and not pay attention to what God is trying to get our attention about in our lives. Where are you right now in your walk with God? What has God been speaking to you lately about? It's interesting that nine prophets God uses to urge His people to return to Him. 208 years. God gave them plenty of time to change their ways. He is so patient. But they rebelled against Him. You know, we can look at this and say, you know, well, that's really bad for Israel. I'm real sorry to hear about that. And, you know, it's a good thing that we don't struggle with idolatry in our country. We don't worship any idols. Well, idolatry is anything or anyone that comes before God in your life. Maybe that could be a spouse. Maybe that could be a child. Maybe that could be your career. Maybe that could be stuff. Maybe it could be ministry. And it has been for me many times. An idol I've had to repent of. Idolatry comes in all kinds of forms. And it's interesting that we live in the most idolatrous country in the world today. We're surrounded by it. Think about all the gadgets. Think about all the stuff that is around us that can become potential idols. And we live in a country today that promotes that. It promotes stuff. And I don't know about you, but I'm one distracted human being sometimes. And I struggle keeping focused on God in my life. Anything or anyone that becomes the driving force or purpose of our lives, unless it's God, is an idol. Are all these things wrong? No, there's nothing inherently wrong with any of those things. Addiction's bad. Yes, it's terrible. But the other things there's nothing inherently wrong with any of those things. But when it becomes the driving force of my life, in other words, what gets me going and moves me and what consumes my life, God says, that's an idol. It'd be like saying to God, it'd be like your spouse saying to you, you know, I commit my life to you, but I want to be free to date other people. You know, can you imagine standing at the altar and somebody saying that to you? Would you want to commit your life to them? Absolutely not. Hey, you're committed to me, right? You're making a promise. And I think about how jealously God wants our allegiance to Him. And how if you looked at your walk with God as a relationship, as a marriage, and this has tremendously changed my walk with God, it has tremendously moved me this week to really think about where I am with God. And this morning I have rededicated my life to Jesus Christ because I have realized that I have had idols in my life and they've got to go. I can't keep talking the talk here and walking the... I can't keep doing that. God wants our allegiance only to Him. And when I am consumed with stuff and when I you know, allow things to get mixed into my life and my walk with God, I hurt Him. If you looked at your walk with God as like a marriage, it might change your perspective. And I'm not suggesting today that we all move to Upper Mongolia and become monks, okay, and nuns. What I am convinced today is that we need to examine our lives and ask ourselves, what is going on in my life right now? What consumes me? What is the most important thing in my life? And I think as we struggle each day following Christ, we should ask ourselves, what is first? And begin to give a little more of our lives every day to Christ. Little bit every day, little more of our lives to Him, surrendered to Him. So let's stand for prayer. God takes idolatry seriously. And we should too. I want to pray right now. And I want to ask God. And I want you to pray. And ask yourself where you are with your walk with God. Let's pray together. Father, we confess that we live in a country that is it's full of idols, Lord. And we read this story from your word. And we hear about Israel's captivity, we hear about Judah's captivity, and how seriously you take idolatry. And Lord, we just want to pray that you search our hearts this morning. We invite the Holy Spirit, Lord, this morning. Is there anything or anyone in our lives, Lord, that are more important than you? We ask, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts today. And gently, but firmly, nudge us back towards you. We want to ask your forgiveness ahead of time for the things that distract us in this life. We want to say how much we love you and how much we need you in our lives. Help us not to treat this as a legalistic exercise but to look at it from a standpoint that, Lord, we are married to you and we were baptized and we made a covenant with you. And we want to be pure before you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. So if you're in the kingdom of a southern kingdom of Judah and you see, you know, Israel has been destroyed. I mean, 200,000 soldiers have come from Assyria and they have taken off all these, you know, these 10 tribes and you're sitting there, your little two-tribe nation, it's very small. You're in Jerusalem and you've got 185,000 soldiers headed your way. Man, what would you do? What would you do? Enter Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a very interesting king. He's one of those five good kings that we had talked about. It's interesting, his father, Ahaz, was a total pagan. He worshipped other gods. And it's interesting to me, you can find a kind of a principle in that, that you are not bound by the choices that your parents made. Maybe some of your parents made bad choices. Maybe they were alcoholics. Maybe they struggled with addictions, whatever. Maybe they didn't follow Christ. But you don't have to be that way. Hezekiah, his life tells me that God can write a new story in your life. He can start you over and change and transform your life. You know, maybe you have family that have had these in your lives. You know, every family has family trees where there's really a lot of rough spots. And, you know, and we had divorce here, and we had, you know, alcoholism in this part of my family tree. And I think we have to make a point where we say, you know, it is going to stop with me. And I wish this country would wake up and start realizing that we have a responsibility with our families and with the choices that we make. We make everything so easy. Oh, the commitment level. Oh, it doesn't matter. We'll get a divorce. It doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want. I can live however I want. We don't realize the consequences of the choices that we make in this life. And I'm here to tell you, it's got to stop with me. And it has got to stop with you. I don't want to pass that on to my daughter. I don't want to pass on drug addiction to her. I don't want to pass on divorce to her. I grew up with that. And I'm here not to put you on a guilt trip and to say, you know, of all the mistakes that we've made in this, we all have made mistakes. But where we are right now is where God takes us. God washes us clean. He gives us a new slate. And let's say to ourselves, today is the day it stops with me and my generation. Stop letting your past define who you are in the present. I know for a lot of us that is a huge problem. We can't get over the mistakes we made in the past. It's done with. You can't do anything to change that. But God can change your future. We used to say that in inner city all the time. You can't change your past. God can change your future. And He can. He'll give you a new life and a new hope. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Listen to this compliment. Just as his father David had done. Wow, what a compliment. He's the only one of the 39 kings that gets that compliment, by the way. You were just like David. Wow. What Hezekiah does is he brings revival to Judah. He's 25 years old. He enters in and he says, you know what? No more idolatry, no more paganism. We are going to restore the priesthood. We're going to repair the temple that his father had nailed shut. And he said, we are going to restore everything back to God. They even celebrate Passover, first time in 200 years. I mean, God is doing some great things through this man. And that teaches me a powerful point. All it takes is one person to make a difference. One person can make a difference at your workplace, in your community. One person. Rosa Parks stood when she was on that bus and she said, no, I am not going to give up my seat for you. And I was talking with our class this morning. We were joking that she actually was interviewed later on. She said, you know, and the reality of it was I had worked a 14-hour day and I was really tired and I didn't want to stand and give up my seat to anybody. But her courage said, no, I am not. And it's amazing to me how God will use an unlikely person to begin a movement. The civil rights movement in that case. And Hezekiah proves that. We've all heard this beautiful story, I can't help to mention it. You've all heard this story about where the starfish are all over the beach and there's this little girl and she's out there and she's picking them up and she's throwing them into the ocean and this guy comes along, he walks along and he says, hey, what are you doing there? That's you know, you got all these starfish on there, you can't possibly help all of them, can you? You know, that's just such a waste of time. Why are you doing that? And she's like, she bent over, picked it up, and threw it in the ocean. She said, made a difference in that one. And that's all it takes. Make it your goal to influence at least one person in this life where they are going to spend eternity. I am a Christian today because of one person, one 70-year-old lady who said, you know what, I'm not going to give up on that boy. And she influenced my life so powerfully that I said, I want what she has. And you and I have that power, that influence to change the eternal destiny of other human beings. Do you realize the power that you have? You have a message that you're holding in your hand that can change the eternal destiny of another human being. Take it seriously, because you won't get that again. Make it your goal to influence one person in this life. Just one person. And who knows, you may meet a Chris Boyce, you may meet a whoever. You never know what God's doing in your life. What made Hezekiah different from everyone else, what made him stand out as a king, it's the fact that he had a commitment to purity and to holiness. Purity means there's nothing added to it. If I have pure gold, it is, you know, beyond. We have different styles of gold, 10 carat, 14 carat, 24 carat. It has to do with purity. There's no additives mixed into it, the purer it gets. And I think this goes back to the idea of idolatry in our lives. Is there anything or anyone more important to me than God in my life? What is really first in my life today? And your enemy doesn't like it when you seek to live a righteous life. When you want to follow Christ and you're trying to stand up for God at work, you're following Him in your community, the enemy, of course, is going to throw you some curves. After all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. This is about 701 B.C. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and he intended to wage war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city, and they helped him. They gathered a large group of people who blocked all the springs in the stream that flowed through the land. You can go to this place today. It is called Hezekiah's Tunnel. It is in Israel. It's 600 yards of nothing but a tunnel and some water in it. And it's kind of freaky. I've met some people that have gone through it. But it's still there today. Notice what he did when he heard Sennacherib was coming. He did everything he could do within his power to make sure that things were going to be okay. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water, they said. Then he worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall and building towers on it. He built another wall outside that one and reinforced the terraces of the city of David. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words. Now listen to what Hezekiah says. He's not a wimp, okay? This is a leader. Listen to these words. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria with 185,000 men are there in our front door. There is a greater power with us than with them. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. It's amazing to me how leadership has the power to encourage or discourage people. And he encourages his people by saying these words. When facing any obstacle in life, it's a powerful principle. Do all that you can do, but leave the outcome to God. Now, he fortified the city. He got it ready. He dug the tunnel. He got the military together. But in the end, he said, Lord, it is up to you. It is entirely in your hands. And that's what he did. Later, when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and all his forces were laying siege to Lachish, he sent his officers to Jerusalem with this message for Hezekiah, king of Judah. So you got, you know, the Assyrian folks coming to the city of Jerusalem, and they say, this is what Sennacherib, king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing your confidence that you remain in Jerusalem under siege? When Hezekiah says, the Lord our God will save us from the hand of the king of Assyria, he is misleading you to let you die of hunger and thirst. And that is my question to you today. What are we basing our confidence on? What are we going to base it on what we can do? Are we going to base it on our strengths, our abilities? Or do we trust in the name of the Lord our God? What are you basing your confidence on? Man, the only thing I got to say before God is, I trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross. That is enough. That's what I'm basing my confidence. What are you basing yours on today? Let's continue. Do you not know that what I and my predecessors have done to all the peoples of the other lands, these are the Assyrians talking, were the gods of those nations ever able to deliver their land from my hand? Who of all the gods of these nations that my predecessors destroyed has been able to save his people from me? How then can your God deliver you from my hand? Now, do not let Hezekiah deceive you and mislead you like this. Do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my predecessors. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? You can hear the pride in this whole thing. It's basically an affront to Yahweh. And here, listen to how God is going to respond in just a moment. But you know, when we start seeking God in our lives, when we seek to live a righteous life, you can expect lies from the enemy. They're telling lies here. Total lies. They're trying to get the people discouraged. Your God can't help you. Hezekiah is lying to you. And how many of us listen to the enemy? He says, your marriage won't survive. Your marriage is not going to make it. And we believe it. You know, God won't forgive you again. How can he possibly? You keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. How's he going to forgive you? The enemy says other things like, you know, you won't conquer addiction. You're going to continue to be an addict. Once an addict, always an addict. And by the way, it really bothers me that, let me just tell you something how I feel today. AA, I have a problem with AA. You want to know why? Because I have to stand up and say, hi, I'm Chris, I'm an alcoholic. Every time I come there, I may have been clean for 25 years and I have to still call, hi, I'm Chris, I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm not. I'm a child of the King. That is my identity. My identity is not in my addiction. My identity is in my Lord. So we should stand up and say, hi, I'm Chris, I'm a child of God. Because you are what you think about yourself. Amen? God can't use you. You've messed up too much in your life. And we believe those lies from the enemy. What do you do when you're out of options? What do you do when there's no place to turn? This is what you do. You let God fight your battles. You got to let him fight your battles. Get out of the way. And let him move. Hezekiah receives this letter from the Assyrian king. And he read it. And then he went up to the temple of the Lord and he spread it out before the Lord. I like that. And Hezekiah prayed, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. Notice how he sees this. They're mocking you. He says, it is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God. That's a powerful prayer. It's not about me, Lord. It's about you. They're mocking you. I don't like that. He was zealous for God's honor. Are you zealous for God's honor? Do you get offended when somebody takes God's name in vain? You better. Because they're talking about your king, your spouse. What impossible situation are you facing today? Hezekiah was. 185,000 people at my doorstep wanting to kill me. Well, that's a pretty bad day at the office. It was an impossible situation. And I know a lot of you in this room today think that you've come today with an impossible situation in your life. The marriage has fallen apart. The addiction has got stronger. My kid has left the Lord. He's never going to come back to the Lord. And we struggle with all these things in our mind. We're thinking, you know, what can I do? You can let God fight your battle. That's what you can do. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death, that is no exaggeration, 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. Can you imagine the stench? Can you imagine that sight? I can't even picture that in my mind. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. Notice that there's no mention of, he said, whoa, you know, who's this God? He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded in his kingdom. Notice that God had predicted this would happen. He told Isaiah, his sons will kill him. And it came true. 185,000, that's like five counties of people. Do you realize that? Just to give you perspective. We hear numbers like that and it doesn't move us. That's everybody in this county, Bedford, Franklin, Warren, and more. Man, that's a lot of people. One angel. One angel. And people kind of look at angels sometimes let me tell you something, you better be careful. Don't mess with angels. Because God gives them that power and that authority to do that. Don't believe today the lies of the enemy in your life. You know, it's too late for you. You've messed up. You've made a mess of your life. God can't use you. You might as well forget it. Can't you do anything right? Can't you do anything? You're such a failure. These are lies of the enemy. Wasted your life. You're just like you fill in the blank. God doesn't love you anymore. God's given up on you. Listen to these words. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I like that one. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will remember your sins no more. We got to get transformed by truth. Truth transforms your life. See yourself as God sees you, not as the world sees you. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a failure. I'm not an addict. I am a child of the living God, and I am forgiven by grace. And I'm His. I want you, as we close today, to say the words no one. The yellow spot is yours, okay? What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for you and for me. And that's the good news today. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. I don't know what impossible situation you're facing today, but God can overcome. Lay it out before God. Just lay the issue out before Him today. And say, God, intercede in my marriage. Intercede in my life, my family. Please, I'm looking to you. My eyes are on you today. I have no one else, Lord. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I want to pray for everyone today here. We all have struggles and issues right now in our lives. We want to lay those impossible situations before you this morning, Lord. And we look into you. Lord, if we don't get out of the situation, give us a road through it. Walk with us through the fire, Jesus. walk with us through that difficult situation. And if you choose, Lord, to allow the trial in my life, it's for a good reason, Lord. And I know, help us to trust you during that time and not give up on our faith, not walk away from you, but to walk with you and ask you, Lord, to teach us all that you're wanting us to learn from this situation. We thank you today for this powerful story from Hezekiah. We thank you for his faith. We thank you for his example to us. Help us to have that unwavering, sold-out commitment that he did to you. And help us this day to be an influence and to bring you glory. Bring us people in our lives this week, Lord, that we can influence for your kingdom and for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you have not begun your walk with God, we want to invite you to do that. We can baptize you into Christ today if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you say, yes, in my heart, I know I've sinned against God. I want to change my life. I want to change my ways. I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus to save me from my sins. God calls us to change our ways and to repent, to say no more to this life. I want to follow Jesus now with all my heart. Baptism is where we begin that walk with Christ. And I love that passage in John 12, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. The cross is what draws people to him, because that's love. And that's how much you and I are worth to him. Today, if you have already made a commitment to Christ and just want prayer, our shepherds will be at the different doors as we leave today, and we're also going to, if you just want to talk afterwards, we want to listen and pray with you and encourage you wherever you are. Let's sing a song together and we can encourage you anyway. Let us know.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
The sound that saved a wretch like me, that saved a wretch like me. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, and he will lift you up.
Our sister Faye has come this morning, and first she said she needed to get rid of idols in her life, which we all do. But she also just wants prayers to be a better grandmother and a better mom and just all the things that we all can relate to and struggle with. And she's asked that we pray for her this morning. So let's go to God and pray for our sister. Heavenly Father, we all need to come before you this morning, Father, and confess that we have things in our lives that get in the way of our relationship with you. And our sister has come forward this morning and confessed that. And Father, we thank you for her courage and her strength. Father, we thank you for her desire to follow you and to remove those things from her life that get in the way so that she can be a better spouse and a better grandmother and a better mom and a better follower of yours. Father, we just pray for Faye this morning. We pray for all of our body here that we can follow her example and Father, just follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate each of you being here this morning. Just appreciate the lesson and the hope it gives to each of us of God being able to turn things around if we'll line up with Him. Chris's point about our past not defining who we are, but with God in control, our future can make such a huge difference. It's just up to us to make that choice to let Him be in control of our lives. Let's close today with a prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the example of Hezekiah, for his recognition that things were outside of his control that he couldn't deal with. Thank you, Father, that he laid his problems and issues before you. Just pray that you'd help each of us when we face trouble and difficulty. Help us to know that you are always there, that your door is always open to hear our prayer, that you are always concerned about us and just love us. Father, help us to know that we can trust in you and find through that the peace that passes understanding. Father, we love you and we just praise you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.